This is the Warrior Mind Podcast, and I'm your host, Greg Swanson. Podcasting from beautiful Bend, Oregon, the Warrior Mind Podcast is a personal empowerment series that provides you the information required to develop a mindset of a warrior, maximize your human potential, and achieve peak performance. The Warrior Mind Podcast is produced every week for your enjoyment, and show notes and links can be found at www.warriormindcoach.com/blog. Please come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite RSS feed or iTunes. If this is your first time listening, thanks for coming. If you're returning, thank you for your continued support. This is episode 354, and today we're going to be talking about rites of passage. But before we begin, just wanted to again remind you that the Warrior Mind Podcast is brought to you by Qualia. It's advanced mental nutrition to immediately enhance your focus, your energy, your mood while supporting long-term brain health. Become remarkable. Go to warriormindcoach.com/neurohacker with a capital N and use code WMC to receive your 15% discount. And I am just thrilled with this product. It has helped me maintain focus, helped me maintain discipline. It's an awesome, awesome product. So go check it out today. So rites of passage. Rites of passage can take many, many forms. There are those that we do consciously. And actually, in the Western society, we really don't consciously do rites of passage. And in our life, there's basically 12 gateways where a rites of passage could be used. We have the first one, which is birth, and sometimes that rite of passage is a baptismal or an acceptance into the tribe of some sort. The last one is death, and there is often a ritual of a rite of passage in the physical death of the individual. Now, in many indigenous cultures, there is a boys to men rite of passage, as well as a girls to women rite of passage, but they are few and far between. And then one that we may all experience unconsciously is this rite of passage going into our second half of our life. Some people, if it's a man, they call it a midlife crisis. If it's a female, they say, I need to go find myself. Whatever it is, those are the ones that if we haven't taken care of our rites of passage beforehand, can be very, very, very unsettling. It's also known as the dark night of the soul, where at some point in our life, we just don't believe in what we've succeeded. It's not filling us up anymore. We feel useless. And there is a severe darkness that comes over us. And most of that is because we haven't taken care of the previous rites of passage. Part of what a rite of passage is intended to do is have a death of the person before that. So with a boys to men, there's a death of the boy, and then there's initiation of the man. And if we don't do those through the proper processes, by the time we get to midlife, we haven't released these old archetypes in us. We haven't released these old identities of us from adolescence to adulthood, to whatever that might be. And when we get to this midlife, all of these things we've taken with us. And so when we look at the dark night of the soul, it's kind of we're looking at ourselves going, who am I? What is this about? And this is a rite of passage that often is not conscious. And to help with that, there are vision quests out there. I have my Warrior's Quest weekend to help with that. But I just wanted to go through some things of a rite of passage that there is a structure, if you will, to the rite of passage. And it's almost as if it's the hero's journey, right? So when we have a rite of passage, there is this orphan status where we feel alone, we feel isolated. And that can either be consciously, or if we're in a tribe, the tribe puts us out in the wilderness. It puts us out someplace. It orphans us away from that. And then the second part of that is it involves a separation and a journey and some sort of a sacrifice. And that sacrifice most of the time is our internal sacrifice. It's our internal beliefs, our internal structure as to what we think is real. And this is where the death comes in. And this is to die, is to validate the process, meaning that we, when we go on these rites of passage and we have this separation, this journey and the sacrifice, this death is a validation process that we are on the right path. It's, we don't give our life up, but we are then surrendering, if you will, our internal life. And then the second part of this sacrifice is this death is also, we're on the threshold of something sacred. We are walking where our ancestors have walked before us, where our elders have walked. We are going through a process that others have done before us. It may not be in your family lineage directly, but if you go back far enough, you will find that your indigenous family had these rites of passage. And so you're about to cross over into the threshold when you start to die off to who you think you are. And then the third part of this dying off is to give up something. And that doesn't necessarily mean you have to give up your house, give up your car, give up your family, but you're giving up something. Because in order to receive, you have to make space. You know, if you clean out your closet, all of a sudden there's space and, hey, how about that? You get some new clothes. Well, it's the same with a vision or with a purpose. We have to sacrifice our current thoughts on what we're doing now. Is that fulfilling? We need to sacrifice what we are doing right now in order to make space for that vision, for that bigger vision of where we should be going. And then the fourth part of this die is to render this yourself void. So to empty your cup. You know, we talk about emptying your cup, but you can't fill your cup if it's filled. Bruce Lee talked about that when he was with one of his martial art masters. Well, the same with us. We need to empty our cup and then order to be receptive. So again, this is the dying off to holding on to maybe what we think is important. And then the fourth part of this is dying to get down to the bones. And what that means is what does the soul need? Getting down to the bones is listening to your soul. And so these are the four parts or five parts of the sacrifice, if you will. And then once you get through that process, now you're into the third part of this rites of passage, and it's an acquisition of power and knowledge. So you've emptied your cup. You've emptied yourself. You released your limiting beliefs. You released who you think you are. You've released what you think you should be doing, where you should be living, all of those things. And now you're flooded with knowledge and power. And this is through spirit. This is through your soul. And as you're sitting still in this moment and it's coming to you, you get this sense of calmness, of serenity. And then the fourth part of it is the affirmation and the rebirth, meaning you're going back into society, you're going back into your tribe with this newfound knowledge. And then you start to use this knowledge to move forward. You start to use this power for the good of the tribe and for the good of the community. And so these are part of the rites of passage. And you can see if we don't go through these things consciously, unconsciously, we're going to face many challenges. We're going to have, because we hold on to these limiting beliefs that we were taught when we were 3, 4, 5, 6 years old. Those beliefs are still with us when we're 20, 30, 40, 50. If we don't die to those beliefs, we can't create new ones. So it's this rite of passage that allows us to die to the old and be born to the new. And if we don't take time to do that, then the dark night of the soul will make us do it. It forces us to do it. The dark night of the soul is basically an accumulation of all these limiting beliefs, all these things that we have covered up. So when we're younger, you know, we're playing around, we're joking around, and our parents say, hey, don't fool around like that. Well, then we cover that part of us up. And a rite of passage is to allow you to acknowledge that and move forward and embrace it. But if we don't, if we keep covering up those things, if we keep covering up our sexuality, if we keep covering up what we really want to do in life, at some point that's going to burst. We're covering it up and we can't cover it up any longer. And then the dark night of the soul comes in. And that's when we have to face it. We are forced to face it. We are forced by going deep inside, by maybe, you know, we'll isolate ourselves from our tribe. We'll isolate ourselves from our friends and family. We'll stop doing things. We'll just have no pleasure in life anymore. And we're going, what is all of this for? Well, that's because all of the accumulated beliefs, stories that we have now starting to surface, and we have to examine them for their truth. We have to bring that into our truth. And sometimes we need to go deep in that. And that can be done through shamanic journey work. It can be done through meditation. It can even be done through extreme physical activities if those activities are intended to bring some enlightenment to you, not just to have some fun. So there are ways to tap into those. Journaling is a great one. Talking to a coach or somebody else. Now, the talking part can be very challenging because the ego gets involved with it and starts to, when you get asked tough questions, the immediate answer is, I don't know. But in reality, we all know these answers if it's a good coach or a good friend that's asking them. But we are afraid to say them because we're afraid to expose ourselves. And this is what the dark night of the soul is. We need to become so vulnerable that we love ourselves so unconditionally and that we know people will accept us. But the problem is that we hide behind these facades. We hide behind these beliefs, thinking that if anybody really knew who we are, we wouldn't be loved anymore. We wouldn't be worthy of their friendship. We wouldn't be worthy of this job. We wouldn't be worthy of this significant other. And it's actually the opposite. When we can become vulnerable through a rite of passage and open up ourselves to those around us, that is the most courageous act. That's a warrior act. That's an act that will attract to you closer friends, a deeper relationship with your significance, more meaningful work at your job if you tend to stay there. So these rites of passage are so critical, but unfortunately, there are not many individuals out there doing them. Yes, there are a few, and I would encourage you to look at them, look at rites of passage. One of the ones that I went to was Nine Gates Mystery School. It's an awesome, awesome place to go through. It's just truly tremendous. It shifted my perspective on the world a lot. I hold one called the Warrior's Quest. I'm actually developing a similar one for a group event. The Warrior's Quest is a private one-on-one vision quest. I'm in the process of developing a group vision quest, but there are many people out there that can do these things. There are some books on the dark night of the soul, but if you haven't done a rites of passage, find one to do. Contact me. We can create a customized rite of passage for you if you can't travel to me. There are things that we can do, but it is essential for you to start to live a authentic, meaningful, enthusiastic life is you have to go through a rites of passage in order to make that happen. So with that, please check out some sites out there. Just do rites of passage, soul journeys, some of those topics you can find some great sites on it. If not, contact me. I can give you a list. I'm not going to go through the whole list here. But anyway, really, really consider going through the rites of passage and you will remember it for the rest of your life. Thanks for listening to the Warrior Mind Podcast. If you liked what you've heard, please tell your friends and subscribe by your favorite RSS feed or iTunes. Also, make sure you check out www.warriormindtraining.com. Until next time, live with courage. And remember, every facet, every compartment of your mind is to be programmed by you. And unless you take your rightful responsibility to program your own mind, the world will program it for you.